Designed to accelerate executives' learning and career growth at four different stages, the comprehensive leadership programs at Harvard Business School Executive Education deliver knowledge, skills, and perspective that transform your ability to lead. Prepare now to face tomorrow's challenges with confidence. Immerse yourself in a powerful, proven learning experience with full-time HBS faculty and talented peers from around the world. To learn more, visit hbs.me/leadership. That's hbs.me/leadership.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shaman from around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. This is Star. Today I have the pleasure of having a very special guest. In the last month I've spent in retreat with Damien Ohm. Damien, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Thank you to welcome me.
I am so glad you can be here. Damien is a French seeker who spent 15 years in India learning all the good things like Vedic science, alchemy, Ayurveda, and he's also been studying with the Mayan teachers of the Curanderas of Mexico. Damien, can you tell us how your spiritual path got started?
Yes, of course. So I'm born in France 42 years ago. And so the first thing that I can say is that as I grew up, I was always fascinated by magic and by fantasy literature. I loved all the fairy tales and all the books speaking about magicians and elves and magic. And I always believed that there were such magic was existing in our world as well. And of course, this was not provided at school. And France is a pretty atheist country. So as well, the spiritual dimension in my country was not addressed when I was a teenager. And I was born in a family where we didn't speak about spirit, about God. Although my parents were really nice and gave me the Bible and the Quran and different books to read, I had to make my own exploration. I always felt that there was something missing from the education that I was provided at school. So when I was 17, 18, and that I left the house of my parents, then I started to travel a bit in France. And so one of my first trips outside of Europe was to Peru and Bolivia when I was 19. And there I had a really strong spiritual awakening as I was going to Machu Picchu, which is this famous Inca power spot in Peru. And I had a strong awakening one night in Sacsayhuaman when I was sleeping in the room. And where I started to remember many memories, and I was really surprised. So as I came back from this trip to France, I started to explore more things and to read more. And but still, France is a really hermetic country. It's really difficult to access to spiritual teaching if you're not in the network. And when I was 20, I went to live for a couple of months in West Africa. And so I went to work there and to visit. I went with my girlfriend at that time. I went to Mali to work. And West Africa was for me a big challenge and a big change as it's a really poor country. And there the spirit and the magic is really present. So I was surrounded by magic. I was surrounded by a different mindset. And what I learned there is that we don't need material wealth to be happy. I discovered there that happiness is an art of living. It's a state of being. And I could see that there was a lot of things within me that was not happy, that I was not content. I was not satisfied and I was not in alignment with myself. And after spending many months there, when I came back, I decided somehow that I could not stay anymore in my country, and I could see that whatever education or the university, whatever was happening there, would never fulfill my thirst for knowledge, my thirst for spirit, and my thirst for reconnection. So I decided to explore more. And when I was 22, I went for the first time to India. And it was really a call from spirit. I never planned to go to India. But one day, when actually I had a flight ticket booked for another country in Africa, for Cameroon, for a few days after, I heard a voice in my head telling me that I had to change my plan and I had to fly alone to India. And I never heard about India before. I didn't really speak English. I never read anything about India. I didn't watch movies about India. But a few days after this call from spirit, I was in an airplane towards India. And when I reached India, I was somehow guided, and I ended up in a small village in Rajasthan, in the north of India, and I was in the top of a hill in a temple. And then I felt home. I felt that finally I was in a land where all my questions could be answered. And it was the beginning of a long love story with India. So since this time, I've spent almost 16 complete years in India. And I have a child there. I have a 12-year-old son living there and going to school there. And at the beginning, I was coming and going. And eventually, I settled down there. And I started to work and to explore and to study. And it's only recently that I decided somehow to explore other parts of the world. And somehow that now I am looking with my wife to another part of the world to settle down, as I feel my Indian cycle reach a kind of completion.
So well, that is a very long path indeed. And I can imagine most of my listeners are interested in what you learned in India. So what were some of the things that most impressed you from the teachings of India?
So if you haven't been, for the people who haven't been to India, India is definitely a different planet. Yeah, it's a big country, so first it's really hard to generalize India. There are many different languages, different cultures, different kind of people. For me, to think of India, it feels a strong presence of the divine feminine, of the divine mother. I know that many psychologists describe India as an oceanic consciousness, like the ocean. It's something that embraces you, and it's something and a place where you can easily get lost and rebirthed. So when I discovered India first, for me it was the absence of rules that somehow attracted me. It was the absence of control. Whatever my control issues were guiding me to control, I discovered that I could not control anything. So it's the art of surrendering. India is teaching you patience. It's teaching you that whatever you plan, whatever you want, you may not get it. And it's not about what you want. It's about what is. And day after day, you surrender to what is, and you learn how to forget what you want. And then you learn something new. You learn that you have to align your personal will with the divine will. You have to learn how to flow with the flow of life. And I know here in the West, we do believe that we can achieve what we want. We do believe that we create our reality, that whatever we focus on, we can manifest and achieve. And I as well agree with it. India, I believe, is teaching us something else. It's teaching us that although we create our reality, it's important first to learn how to surrender. So one of my first big lessons in India was about surrendering the control that I wanted to have around me. Then eventually I was interested in alternative medicine, and because in India you easily get sick, And when you go to the Indian doctors, like the allopathic doctors, or when you go to Indian hospital, you just turn your way back because it's a scary place. You don't really want to spend time in an Indian hospital. It looks more harmful than to be sick outside on your own. So eventually you turn your back and you're looking for medicine men or medicine women. And you also discover that you can heal yourself alone, that it's more like a journey of self-healing. So I learned first Ayurveda, and I even got a diploma, because Ayurveda is this science of life that embraces all aspects of life. It's a science based on the five elements, and it blends astrology, physical medicine, spiritual medicine, emotional healing, herbalism, metallic alchemy. It embraces many, many different fields, and it's really fascinating. It's not something that you can learn in one life. It's years, years, centuries of learning, and you just have to choose which field interests you the most. Of course, as well, I spent time in ashrams with different masters where I learned how to meditate. And it's hard to learn how to meditate. It's more that you practice meditation until somehow your mind relaxes and calms down. And eventually, after years of practice, you realize that it's easier and easier to reach a state of no mind and no thought. And eventually, after a few years there, I met an alchemist, a medicine man that had absolutely no education in the university, or that could not even read books. He was a man living in a mountain, and he was preparing a lot of different medicines, herbal preparations, alchemical preparations. And when I met him, I had to learn with him, and then I started to spend a lot of time with this old man to learn. It was probably the same kind of learning that you had with your teachers in Mexico or in Africa. It was a teaching where you would spend the whole day with the person. It was not classes. There was no money involved. It was more living together. And he introduced me to many, many different kind of way to prepare herbs and medicine. And it had nothing to do with the ways that I learned before in Ayurveda or in herbalist school. It was much more a shamanic way. It was a way where you would speak with the plant. He would ask the plant to bring their magic into the remedy that he would prepare. And every remedy had to be used only once. So it was not like the classical Ayurvedic cures where you had usually like 3-4 months treatment, taking, absorbing a lot of herbal powders and syrups and decoctions. His remedies, you had to take them only once, and the spirit of the plant would do the work, and that's it. So when I was really impressed by the quality of this preparation. Sometimes we would walk in the Himalayan mountains for hours to look for a specific herb, and once we will reach a crop full of the plant we were looking for, he would sit, meditate for a few minutes, and then he would say, for example, "No, not today. They don't want, so we have to go back." And, you know, my young Western mind was really upset. I was telling him, like, "What do you mean? We just walked 3-4 hours, and now we just found the plant, so just let's gather some. Let's bring them home." And he was saying, "No, today is not the day. We'll go back home. We'll come another time." So for my Western mind, it was really strange and weird. But eventually, now with more maturity, I understand that this was a level of mastery in the plant-spirit communication that at that point I could not get, that was far beyond my conception. So this man taught me about impeccability in the making the remedy, and it was not about the ingredients, it was not about the chemistry of it, it was not even about the Ayurvedic teachings, what it said about it. It was about inviting the consciousness of nature, of a plant spirit, to come in a preparation to heal a human consciousness. And for me, that was a great teaching that even today I'm still really grateful to this old man for everything that he taught me.
That is wonderful and very interesting how you noticed yourself evolve. If I want to find out more about you, can you tell me your website?
Yes, so I have a school and a website called Magic Vibration Healing. And the website is www.magicvibrationhealing.com, all together. And on this website, you can find the different teachings, workshops that I do. And as well, there is another website that I have where it's more about alchemical preparations that I prepare. And it's called Siddha Linga, www.siddhalinga.com. The Siddhas are... Yes, please.
I think everybody, it's important for you to go and look at his website and get to know him a little bit better. I have invited Damien to do a couple of workshops here at the Dome in Hot Springs. And this Saturday, he's going to be doing the Diamond Light Body Activation and Heart Meditation. So, Damien, can you tell us a little bit about this four-hour class?
Yes, of course. So the Diamond Body is something that is a really secret teaching. So this is something found in the Tibetan Tantric tradition, as well in the Taoist teachings of Thailand and Vietnam and China. I know as well that the Egyptians and the Mayans, they were also speaking about it, all with different names. So the Diamond Body, the light body that is not the Merkaba, so it's a different geometry than the Merkaba taught, for example, in the U.S. by Drenvalo Melchizedek and the Merkaba Flower of Light School. It's another geometry of consciousness, but it's as well a light body. So these traditions, they explain us that long ago, so whatever you believe in, just consider it like a long, long time ago, our physical body could generate its own light. It means that it was before the time where we needed external sources of light, like the sunlight or that the light of the sun found in the plants and in the food. So these teachings explain that in each and every cell of our body, there is a rainbow, and that we can activate a wormhole, which is a zero-point field access to infinite consciousness, where divine light can come, and that we can actually project the holographic template of our physical body from within us without needing the sunlight or the light from the food. So it's about immortality. It's the diamond body. It's about transcending all separation and to reconnect with all oneness. So it's a state of being first where we feel one with everything. It's a state of being where there's no more separation, no more disease, where there's no more judgment. And it is based on trinitization. So it's really interesting for me because, for example, in most of the yogic Vedic school, we do focus a lot on the third eye or on the bindu, which is in the center of the head. Most of the kundalini work in India, it's about raising your consciousness, raising your kundalini towards the center of the head and to the crown. In martial arts, or in more kung fu Taoist practices, we do focus a lot on the hara, which is the second chakra, lower abdomen. And for example, in the Sufi traditions, they do focus a lot in the heart. The diamond body requires the activation of the three centers at the same time, the hara, the center of the head, and the heart, all together. So it's the only light body activation that requires these three aspects to be tuned together, blended together, and it's centered in the heart. So what we will do Saturday in the Dome, and I'm really grateful that you invited me as a guest speaker, is first to explain the history of it, the geometry of it, how it was used before, and I will give a guided meditation in the heart where somehow we can remind ourselves this geometry. I do believe from my experience that if anyone in a past life or in its cellular memory has experienced this diamond light body activation previously, this meditation will reawaken and reactivate this program because we all have it. It's dormant deep in our DNA. And my experience with this meditation is that it will reawaken this dormant memory and it will reset the geometry of your heart in a way that you can be more centered and to give you more access to the multidimensionality of your being.
Wow. I'm going to attend this. I am excited about this. I remember bits and pieces of these things from my own personal time in India, but it will be wonderful to have the download, the whole activation from you. Now I have a question for you. You've traveled around the world. You know people from the far corners of the earth. What do you think that people need to know right now, spiritually? What do we need to know right now?
I think what now we need to know, for me, what we need to know all together is that, so, and of course we are all aware of it, we are experiencing time of changes. There is definitely something going on in the planet. So whatever people call it, the great event, ascension, that people call it the new consciousness, the new dimension, it doesn't matter the way we call it. There is a collective change. For me, the most important thing to consider today is that it's not anymore about personal ascension or personal self-realization. It's more about collective work. My experience, for example, when I receive patients for healing, is that many times these days, the healing crisis that the people go through is not personal anymore. Many times I observe that it's a collective healing. So, for example, somebody would come to me with some wounds about abandonment and or wounded child, or wounds from childhood, and these people would have thought that with all the work that they already did, it should be over, and so then it's coming back, and they wonder why, and they have self-esteem issues about it. And I can see that they're actually revisiting this wound and this healing for the benefit of their community. I can see that there's a lot of collective healing going through personal individuals. So I would like to share with the people that whatever you're going through in your life, even if you think that already you did so much healing, so much work, so much awareness, transformation came to you about one subject, and if it comes again, try to see that it's a service to the community of people living around you. It's a service to universal and collective consciousness to give the download of this healing to the people around you. From your energetic field, from your dreams, from simply your presence. And when you revisit this healing crisis, and when you take a bus or you go to the supermarket, whoever comes in contact with you, they can get a download from you. Because I believe it's more about collective ascension. We have to go there together. We cannot go alone. So it's a process where we have to involve each other. So what I believe we have to learn is to be more together, to learn how to live together, to communicate more in a non-violent way together, and to support each other in our respective healing processes. It's about healing collective consciousness. It's about evolving all together as one to the next step. It's not like before where individuals could self-realize or individuals could ascend, could get enlightened and guide the other. Is whatever we are going through, it's all together and nobody will be left apart and aside.
Well, thank you. You know, that reminds me of what my teacher Esperanza taught me, that every time that I go and heal an individual, I have to center and balance that by healing a community, and whether the community be women raising children alone or whatever that is. So every time I got a healing, every time I did an individual healing, it needed to be matched with a healing for community, parts of the community. And it made so much sense to me because, you know, we are all one. And yes, maybe I have my personality. Yes, you have your personality and experiences. Yet the energy of humanity, the energy of our light workers is one. And just like a piece of coal that is being pressured by the planet Earth, we are being pressured to become a diamond. And little by little, after that diamond comes out, it will be faceted, polished. And we do that as we learn to surrender to be community, as we learn to become one. And we, as humans, we have this huge battle to be our personality, to be free, to be independent. And all those things can exist within community, like many musical notes existing together in harmony. Okay, I have to pause for a small commercial break, and we'll be right back with Damien Ohm.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shaman from around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Damien Ohm. Damien, I have invited you on Saturday, October 21st from 10 to 5 p.m. to do a workshop on bioenergetic testing and DNA activation. Could you please tell us a little bit about this workshop?
Yes, of course, Star. And thank you again for inviting me as a guest to speak about this. So for me, testing is always something really important that I like to teach to my students. I believe that testing for me means to feel, see, sense, test if something is appropriate for you in the moment. So of course, we can use dowsing and use pendulums. We can use kinesiology. We can use just the gut feeling. Some people that are psychic enough can receive answers from their spirit guides. I know you're really good at that. I like something that is as scientific as possible, which means that I like the kind of test that whoever will test will get the same result. Like in modern science, we like that when we reproduce an experiment, if we get the same result, it gets some kind of validation. So this bioenergy testing, it works with the measurement of the etheric body with your hands. It's actually a physical sensation that you have in the palms of your hands. And every time that your body likes something, your etheric body will expand. And you can feel and measure this expansion of the etheric body with your hands, with the palms of your hands. And when your body and body intelligence doesn't like something, this etheric layer will contract and come closer to your physical body. So this testing helps us to measure the expansion and the contraction of the energetic layers around us. If you measure it, or if someone else measures it, we will have the same result. It can be extremely precise, as if you take a ruler, you can measure within inches, how many inches is your layer, and how many percentage it expands or how many percentage it contracts. It can be extremely sharp and precise. There's ways also to see how the different axes of your body are moving, so you can test the energetic quality of products. So the testing is something that I would use for the food, to choose a crystal, to choose a medicine in the health food shop, to test a practice, to scan and map the energy of your garden, of a house, to test everything. And I think it's really useful because people have this tendency to give away their power to psychics or other people, to ask them if something is good for them, when actually if you can test it yourself, you learn how to be more self-confident in your own senses. And the DNA activation we will do, these are like phonic activation, so they are sounds that we repeat. These sounds come from the inner earth, from the intraterrestrial. They were channeled by a French master. And I work with them since many years, and they are really powerful and really simple, and they do work for everybody, wherever you come from. So you have sounds, of course, to clean and activate your chakras, to activate the different energetic structure of the body, to activate the different psychic channels, to connect to the earth, to open your angel wings. You have many hundreds of different codes, so we will go through different ones. And it can be part of a daily maintenance or a daily meditation that you do by repeating these codes to somehow keep on expanding your light and balancing, harmonizing the different energies in your body. So this 21st October, this is what we will explore together, the testing and the activations, because every activation, to be sure that it works, you will be able to test it, to see how your body changes and reacts when you do activate the code. Like this, you don't have to believe me. It will be a direct personal experience based on your own sensations.
I like that. I think it's really important that we get feedback and that we're clear about the feedback we're getting. And for each of us to be able to have tools that we can use on ourselves and others is important in doing our light work and our spiritual work. So, Damien, what else would you have to tell our audience that is important for them to work on in right now and important for them to become conscious about?
So there's something that was coming to my mind when you were asking me before as well, and because it's something that even for me took me a long time to integrate, and I'm still reflecting on it. Is in India, I do have a spiritual master, which is a really enlightened being, and his name is Sri Tathagata, and he's a really powerful yogi, an old man, and he does organize these big Vedic rituals with fire to pray for peace in the world and to bring dharma, which are like human harmonic values on earth. And one of his teachings says that when we do want to bring harmony and peace in this world, it's really important to invite as well the negative forces. So Swarupadi is insisting that it's important not only to deal and invite the angelic light forces, but to invite to the prayer the forces that deal with power. So in India, we have like devas and asuras. The devas usually are more relating to angels and knowledge, forces of wisdom and knowledge and angelic strength, when the asuras are usually translated as demons, but they're not demons. They are egoic forces that use power. And my master is always saying that it's really important to invite the forces of power, of ego, to the party, to invite them to the prayer, to make a deal together with the angels, with the devas, with the forces of knowledge, because knowledge without power goes nowhere. And we know that power without knowledge and wisdom is dangerous. So it's important to be in the center, in the middle. This is why in the East we always speak about the middle path. And in the middle path, it's not a necessary war of the angels against the demons. It's not about saving the world. It's not about fighting against. It's about being in the heart, working with the angels, the divine, and the forces of light, and working as well with the forces of power. Because to change and transform this world and make it a better place, a place of peace and love and joy, we do need power. We need to blend together wisdom, light, and power. When we leave the power in the hands of the people who only like power, we know where it leads. It leads to war. It leads to segregation, to conflict. So I believe it's really important because I've seen in many New Age movements, many people believe that they have to side with the angels. They have to side as a light worker with only one side. What I learned in my life is that we cannot fight. As long as we fight, and I know, Star, that you always say that what we are against, we make it stronger. What we resist to persist. So I believe that we have to stay in our heart, and to stay in our heart means not to judge and to include power and wisdom and knowledge in our heart together and to work with both of them.
I agree. I agree that once that the power needs to be there, and if you push against something, you never get to learn it. You never get to feel it, see it, understand it. Watch other people direct it. You become frightened of it. You become in love with it. So we must learn that we must be with or for something and then work with it. I think that many people don't understand power. Many people don't understand how judging is being against something versus helping or knowing that energy so that you can be the change or that you can stand and see why this energy is important in the world. I think that we need to know ourselves. We need to know light. We need to know power. We need to know what our thoughts do. Our thoughts are amazing. Every thought creates thoughts just like it. They all get together in a big party, and they come back to us. So if I think today, oh, my God, I've got so many bills. I hate bills. Why do I have bills? And I think of bills 30 times today. I'm going to get more bills tomorrow. When you are in judgment, you are multiplying something. Think about it. Do you really want to multiply all the walls and all the barriers and all your thoughts that you're judging? It's really important to be with people like Damien Ohm, who have an education, who have sat in India, who have dedicated decades of their lives to receiving downloads that are not necessarily teachings that all of us have gotten here. Once we're in the presence of somebody who's learned something, it becomes available to our subconscious and unconscious mind for us to learn. When we look at our world, we feel our world, we participate in our world. You can have everything you want, but I'm going to tell you this. If everything is taken away from me, I will have my education. I will have my integrity. I will know myself. And I will have observed the world well enough to become part of the flow, to become part of the healing for myself and the community, no matter what happens. We need to come together. We need to come together with teachers. We need to come together with the students. We need to come together with every country in this planet. And most importantly, we need to come together inside of us. Is your brain ruling your body? Is your heart ruling your body? Is your karma ruling your body? Seek deeply inside get feedback from others, and learn that the blend of the mind, the heart, the soul, all these things together are so empowering. Each one in themselves has power, but combined with all the other parts of us, we become interdimensionally whole and interdimensionally empowered. Damien, what is your website?
My website is www.magicvibrationhealing.com.
And the Ayurvedic website is? The alchemy website.
Yeah, it's Siddhalinga. Siddhalinga. Siddhalinga is more work about Siddha alchemy. And the Siddhas are yogis from the south of India that are called immortals. And many people probably heard about Babaji. And because in India, Paramahansa Yogananda was in the U.S. was really famous. So this is his guru, his master, Mahavatar Babaji. So this is a really ancient lineage of alchemy that transcended the mortality of the human condition and that could realize the immortality of consciousness. So they do have a level of physical alchemy where they do transmute poison into healing remedies. So we do.
And Damien, if I was to have a session with you, what would that look like? What would happen in that session?
So it depends. It can be. I love to use the Mayan healing tools that you're teaching because I see that they are really powerful and they are quick and fast. I also like to work with quantum tools, which can be more quantum healing with some kind of quantum device to remove blockages and limitations. And I also use light language that you're teaching here, and because I found it to be really supportive for all the in-depth healing processes. And I also do different coaching. One of the things that I can do is to prepare for people specific medicine and remedies that contain a lot of different information, especially for them. So after a chat where we identify the issues and what the people need, I do prepare a specific alchemical blend that they can use either as a perfume or something to drink. I can as well program pendants with a specific alchemical energy to help the people transmute what they have to transmute. I do believe in the art of transmutation.
I think that it's wonderful that Damien will be spending the next 2 weeks here in Hot Springs. I want to remind my listening audience that Saturday, October 14th, at the Dome, Diamond Light Body Activation and Heart Meditation. Saturday, October 25th, at the Dome, 10 till 5, Bioenergetic Testing and DNA Activation Workshop. And remember, you can use this testing on yourself and others. I'd like to give you our phone number, which is 657-383-1612. And if you have a question for Damien or me, please give us a call in the next 4 or 5 minutes. So taking a deep breath here. What a lot of information for us to absorb and integrate. What great possibilities for us to plan into our future education. So please remember that as a spiritual master, as a spiritual teacher, as a spiritual student, your horizons are expanded by the amount you participate. That means if you you want people to come to your classes, you go to other people's classes. You support people by buying their books, by participating in their products, so that that energy comes back to you, and so your education becomes stronger and deeper. Damien, is there anything else you'd like to say?
There's something more I would like to share. There's a really interesting work that I do with a friend of mine in India, which is with a Siddha healer. And so it's the work that we call Siddha Linga. And it's really interesting because I believe it's a really unique work done this time in this planet. And it's blending the Siddha alchemy, which is a transmutation of poisons, with the Mayan magic that Star you teach here. And so basically it ends up being either a pendant, or it can be as well a wooden Buddha head that you put on your altar in your house. So what we do is we do create an alchemical salt, which is a powder form. This powder form contains 9 metals that are purified with the basic of Siddha alchemy. These 9 metals in India correspond to the 9 planets, which are actually the 7 main planets and the 2 energies that are creating the eclipses. And so it uses powerful metals as well, like, for example, lead, mercury, and they are transmuted and purified with the help of herbs. So this requires, for example, more than 4,300 herbs to purify 9 of these metals. At the end, this compound that is purified will help you to transmute your inner poison, the poisons of the soul, the poisons of your mind, the poisons of your ego. And I do blend it with light language and all the magic that comes from quantum healing, the Mayan lineages. So it's something that holds a lot of power. Since the few years we distributed, and we distributed thousands of them, we have a lot of amazing feedback because it brings a lot of grounding. It brings as well a lot of protection against radiation, harmful negative energies around you. And it's as well something that you can program. It's like if it's self-conscious. It's like if the ancient Siddha masters and the Mayan curanderos are living inside it, guiding it, and that you can speak to them to support your own process. So it's something that you can easily program to support your focus, concentration, healing, grounding, protection, whatever you need. You can program it just with your intention. It's really easy. And it's something I know it's not really distributed here in the United States yet, but it's really powerful, and I've seen it helping a lot of people because in this world where we have a lot of difficult conditions to maintain our energetic integrity with all the radiations and all the fear going on around, this tool helps you to keep your center, keep your grounding, keep your integrity. So you do require less mental energy to maintain your stability and your centeredness. So then you have more energy to do other things. So this tool, if you're interested, is available in this website, siddhalinga.com. And I will also present it in the Dome Saturday in the workshop. I believe for people who like alchemy, it's a really interesting thing, at least to feel, to sense, and to experience.
Well, thank you, Damien. Damien Ohm, magicvibrationshealing.com. I'm proud to host him at the Dome for Diamond Light Body Activation and Heart Meditation, Saturday, October 14th, 2017, 10 a.m. to 2, and Bioenergetic Testing and DNA Activation Workshop, Saturday, October 21st, 2017, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. For more information, give us a call. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. Thank you, Damien.
Thank you, Star. Thank you so much for welcoming me on your radio stargazing talk.
All right. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlightening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, please visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660. See you next time.
Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, where doctors are developing new approaches in cancer detection and treatment with one goal: ending cancer. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.